Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, good morning, everyone there in Japan. I wish you a very happy New Year. And it is my privilege, once again, to be able to speak to my church there in Tokyo and pray that God has blessed your year and the several years that actually we have been gone. But I am thankful for the opportunity today to speak to you, and I hope that it will be an encouragement for you in the new year. Let me start off with a short word of prayer, if you would pray with me. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your many blessings to us and your abundant mercy towards us, Lord, each and every day and each and every year. And as we look to this new year, 2023, we ask that, Lord, you'll use this message and be a help me to be an encouragement and help me to be a strength to your people there in Japan. And I pray that each one will be touched, and I pray that each one will be used of thee mightily throughout the year. And just thank you for each one of them that you have given us as a flock there in Japan. I ask that you'd bless them abundantly, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, let me start off by giving you an expression that was used by a very famous person, and he said, "You'll never know the value of a moment until it is a memory." And I thought about that, and I want to repeat it. You'll never know the value of a moment until it is a memory. You know, I always enjoyed the services there at Akigawa Baptist Church. And I enjoyed the fellowship that we had with each of you back then. But now that we are no longer there, I cherish those times and realize how valuable and how what a blessing it was to be there with you in the moment. And now on this side of the world, and 2.5 years or so later, I think of how wonderful those times were. And so I want to encourage you, as you attend church every week, to value that time. And value that time with one another that you spend in fellowship, and value the time that you hear God's word being preached, because one day you may not be with that in that setting, maybe sickness or maybe health or old age or maybe you move. And now Glenda and I, we do still participate in your services. Don't get me wrong. Every Saturday night, as Steve preaches on Sunday morning there, it's Saturday night here. And so Glenda and I, every Saturday night, enjoy watching Steve preach. And we kind of still continue to cherish those times with you there in Japan. But it's still a special time for us, even on this side of the world, as we watch your services and continue being a part as much as we possibly can of your fellowship. And I just want you that we know, that know us, we want you to know that we still love you and we pray for you and the work there in Akigawa. And even those that we don't know, those people we haven't met yet that we don't know, you know, God has given us a love for you as well. Stephen often tells us of those who are attending. And I just want you to know that we love you as well. And we thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord, to His Word, to the church. And we just pray and trust that God will continue to use each and every one of you to be an uplift to one another. As you know, God gives a talent to every Christian. And I don't have many talents, but if I do have one talent, it would be to take God's word and make it simple and take the salvation plan that God has given us through His word and making it simple for people to understand. And so that's, I believe, God's gift to me. And so today, again, I will attempt to make God's salvation plan easy to understand if you're there and you don't know Christ as your Savior. At the beginning of this new year, 2023, I want to give you a challenge for this new year. And you know, you will face many trials through the year. Some will be financial. Some will be maybe a social issue. Maybe you'll have family issues. I don't know. Maybe something at school or maybe at work that you'll struggle with that might be a trial, so to speak. I think we'll have each and every one of us. We'll have those days and maybe even a long time continuing with many struggles throughout the year. But there will no doubt be no comparison to the spiritual struggles that each one of us will have in the new year, because Satan knows us and he doesn't stop in trying to throw out stumbling blocks for you and I, and we have to be aware of that. And so with probably the greatest challenge in the new year would be our struggles with spiritual concerns. And so with that in mind, I would like to draw your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 11, and I'd like to read verses 21 and 22. So if you'd open your Bibles to Luke, chapter 11, verses 21 and 22, and I'll begin reading. It says, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils." Do you know who these two are referring to? Well, if you look at verse 21, who is this strong man here? Well, I believe this strong man is referring, Jesus is referring to Satan, to the devil. And so if verse 21 is referring to the devil, who do you think verse 22 is referring to? Now, this is a much easier question, I believe, and I think you'll readily have the answer. But verse 22 must be talking of Jesus. Here in America, we are blessed to have a constitution that is geared for the freedom of our faith. And we didn't want an oppressive and repressive government in our lives. We didn't want a lot of high taxes. And so in our Second Amendment, we have written there that we have the right to bear arms, and just to mention that I happen to have several firearms in my house, and I don't think anybody would want to come into my house at night and try to rob me just because of my being armed, and that's true in a lot of cases, most of my guns, by the way, are for hunting. I enjoy sports. I've been bear hunting. I've been deer hunting. I've gotten a bear rug that's upstairs. I like deer hunting. I usually take several deer every year. And so I love different kinds of hunting. And so I have for different kinds of hunting, I have different kinds of firearms. But my story today, if you want to get to the background of what Jesus was talking about, this strong man being armed and the stronger man being armed, it relates back to what is in verse 14, and I'd like to read that with you, Luke chapter 11 and verse 14. It says here, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. Now, in these three verses, we have three different types of people, with three different groups, three different reactions from Jesus casting out this devil. Verse 14 tells us about those people that saw what had happened. And the Bible says, in my English Bible tells us that the people that saw that, they wondered. In other words, that comes from a Greek word called thaumazo. That's thaumazo is a Greek word that means they marveled, they wondered, they were intrigued by what happened. And in Japanese, it says gunshua odoroita. In other words, they were surprised. And that's all a part of what that word means. They were surprised, pleasantly surprised, I should add to that meaning. And so we have the first group of people who were, I would say, they were believers. It doesn't say that in the scripture, but the fact that they wondered and marveled, I would say that these people actually believed in what they saw. And this same thought can, this same Greek word to wonder, to marvel, is found in the book of Matthew chapter 9. And you don't have to turn there, but it says in verse 8, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And there we have, no doubt, people who marveled and gave God the glory and were thankful for the power that God gave to man, especially to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I believe, just as in Matthew 9, that Greek word there for wondered or marveled is the same Greek word. So I believe that first group of people in verse 14 were saved individuals, were believers. And then in verse 15 of Luke 11, you have those people who were unbelievers. They saw the same thing that happened as the people in verse 14. They said that Christ was actually a partner with Satan and attributed his work to Satan, calling him Beelzebub, which is another word for ruler of demons. And so you have that unbeliever. And then in chapter 11, verse 16, I would call these people who looked and wanted to see more miracles, I would call these halfway believers. In other words, you can't say they were believers, and then maybe you can't really say that they were unbelievers, because they desired to see more miracles of Christ and to be confident of the one they put their faith in. So I would say these were half believers, and I believe we have these kind of people in our churches today. Every group of people, not every Sunday, of course, but my message right now are to those people that are out there that are half believers or unbelievers, and I would hope that before this message is over, that you would get a feeling of what power God has given to the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby He can save you and I, and help us to understand that, yeah, Satan is strong, but understand that Jesus is the stronger one. And that is my message, and that is my challenge to you today is, yeah, you will have spiritual setbacks, but don't give up. Realize that Jesus is the stronger of the two, and just as Satan has had many a victory spiritually in your life, so I pray and trust that in 23, Christ will have more victory in your life than Satan does. Now, after verse 16, Jesus was reading the thoughts of these people. And in verse 17, it says here, "But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them," what did he say? "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth." And verse 18, "If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub." And then in verse 20, I'm going to skip 19 and go to verse 20. He says, "But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." So here, Jesus read the thoughts of all of these people. And he pointed to the group in the middle that accused him of doing these things through the power of Satan and through cooperation with Satan. And what did he tell him? He says Satan would not work against himself. He wouldn't work against his kingdom or against his family. And he said Satan wouldn't be benefited by doing so. You know, Satan is very wicked, but Jesus knows he's also very smart. And he was saying it's not like the devil to do something so stupid. It's not like the devil to do something foolish like this. Of course, he didn't use the word stupid or foolish, but he did point out that this was not like Satan. And then he stressed in verse 20, "But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils." You know, that's all Jesus needs to cast out devils is the finger. A finger of God. He has more power in his finger than Satan does in his whole being. And Satan understands that. He knows that. But here in verse 21, then we come to verses 21 and 22, where I read earlier here. And what I observe here is that, yes, Jesus was saying Satan's strong, but I'm stronger. And in 2023, you and I are going to have spiritual battles. There will be a spiritual battle between Satan and Christ, and we will be in the middle of it. And it is good for us to be aware of that, because by being aware of that, we will understand that we need the power of Christ in our life, in our everyday life. And we'll also be aware of Satan's power that wars against not only God, but also wars against us. If you're there at Akigawa Baptist Church this morning, and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to assure you that and promise you that Jesus Christ is doing all he can to convince you of his almighty saving power. He's not only able to save us from the grasp of Satan today, but he's also able to save our souls and give us eternal life, eternal salvation. And I know that Jesus wants you to be saved, and he's stronger than Satan. He can do that by simple faith and trust in him. Jesus proved that he could bind the devil, that he could bind the devil and take away all of his possessions. And if we were to ask, what are those possessions? Well, I'll tell you what they are. They're the souls of men. That's what Satan takes pride in, is the souls of men. But Jesus said he has more power and he can save your soul today. He wants to take you away from the grasp of Satan and give you hope in your everyday life and give you peace and all of the things that he has promised to believers. And so today, you know, in my message, I'd like for us to see the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to use another verse, and that is in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. And here's where it says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." And here's a beautiful verse that tells us about the power of Jesus. The Bible tells us that he spoils the principalities and powers, and that he triumphs over those powers. He spoils their power and he triumphs over their powers. What a beautiful verse to remind us of just who we have in our heart when we trusted Christ as our Savior. We have a very, very powerful, strong man in our lives now that can give us victory over sin, over Satan. We don't have victory over death, but we do have the hope of eternal life that is given to us by Christ. And then I also would like to share another verse, and that's in Psalms chapter 27. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 3 for you today. Psalms 27, these are beautiful verses. I'll begin reading verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Then he says, "Whom shall I fear?" Then he says, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Verse 2 says, "When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh," what does he say? "They stumbled and fell." And then verse 3, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Wow. So here David is saying, though an host should come and encamp against him, he says, "My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." And that is in the confidence that God would be with him. Now, Japan is surrounded by enemies, I guess you would say. They're surrounded by foes. We have China one side of Japan, and then we have North Korea on the other side of Japan constantly shooting off missiles, and then we got Russia in the middle. And so Japan is not sitting in a very comfortable place in the geography of the world right now with all that's going on between those countries there. But you know what? As Christians, these are things that we don't have to worry about. There's enough to worry about, but we don't have to worry about our safety and protection because God knows where we are. And the verses that we just read in Psalms 27, 1 through 3 should give us full assurance of God's power in Christ working in our life. So we have no one to fear. We have nothing to fear, I should add. No one and nothing to fear. And so we have a bright 23 ahead of us. But we still must fight those powers of darkness and be attentive of what could possibly happen. But in our conflict against those powers, we can be victorious. There's another verse, another few verses I would like to read, and these are in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 18 through 22. I will read them if you'd like to. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 18, and I'm going to read through verse 22. It says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." So we're talking about I'll repeat that verse 18, just the first part, and then I want to go into 19. It says, "And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know." Now I'll continue in verse 19, "that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Wow. "That you may know that you that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." And then verse 20 says, "which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." And verse 21, "far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Wow, these are powerful verses. Look what these verses are telling us. First of all, God was saying, God, his power was in Christ when he when Christ resurrected from the dead 3 days after being put in that grave. And then verse 21, he says, he's above all principality, above all governments, and above all, and he says, he's above all principality and power. He's above all might and dominion. And he's above every name that is named, not only this world, but also in that which is to come. "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church." Wow. If this be the case, then folks, listen, we don't need to be neutral. We need to be on God's side, and we need to have a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'll have that victory in your life from day to day, realizing what power we have within us. Luke 11:23, it tells us, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth." Those are in the same verses that we read in Luke chapter 11. "He that is not with me is against me." And so, I encourage you to align with Jesus Christ throughout 11:23. Be faithful to every service. Pray. Read your Bible. Ask God for his power, that you might live for him, because he is above all power. And his power can work in and through us, and don't go against him. As a Christian, don't go against him. Be a witness for him. Gather for him. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. You know, if we're not living for Jesus Christ, we're not bringing people to Jesus. You know that, right? If we're not living for Jesus Christ, we're scattering, and that doesn't do the glory of God any benefits. And so don't be half-hearted, because there are two forces that are working for our allegiance. Two forces that are working for our allegiance. And Christ saved us from Satan's power so that we would love him and follow him and work for Jesus and do his will. That is my challenge to you this morning. And it is necessary for people not only to know of Christ and his power, but we also need not only just to know it, but we need to have it in our daily lives. Don't live in fear. Don't be disarmed of God's word by ignoring it, not reading it. Don't be disarmed by Satan, and don't be disarmed by living a life of sin. We shouldn't live for ourselves. We shouldn't live for wealth, but let's live for Christ and for his glory and be obedient to his command and to his will. So, as I mentioned, we need to be aware not only of Christ and of his power, but we also need to be aware of Satan's power that constantly works against God and against us. And who was it, by the way, that was waiting for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Well, it was Satan who was there and deceived them and caused them to sin. But you know, when they did, God promised them a Savior. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God promised them a Savior. In verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." We just have to understand that there will be enmity between us and Satan, and between our kind and Satan's kind. There will be enmity here. But here's the thing. God said in that same verse that her seed shall bruise thy head. Her seed, in other words, that seed from woman, that seed from the Virgin Mary, would eventually, that seed of the Messiah coming from a woman shall bruise his head. And Satan understands the nature of our spiritual battle. He understands that. That's the way it is. And you know, there are a few words that Satan does not like. He doesn't like the word Bethlehem. Satan doesn't like the word Bethlehem because that is where that Messiah promised in Genesis 3:15 came to this earth. He doesn't like that word Bethlehem. I'll tell you another word he doesn't like, and that's the cross. He doesn't like the cross because on that cross is where the sinless blood of Jesus Christ, even all the temptations and trials that Satan threw at Christ, he was victorious. He sanctified himself, as it says in John 17, for your sakes, for my sakes. He sanctified himself and lived a perfect life. And you know, if he didn't, if Jesus one time succumbed to sin, do you realize that that cross would have been just another sinner's death? It would make no difference in God's strategy or plan to save lost men. If Jesus died on that cross with just one sin, do you realize he died on that cross as a sinner just like you and I will die? But he didn't. He died on that cross and shed his blood so that we could be saved. And Satan knows Hebrews 9:22. It says where there is no blood, there is no remission of sin. And so he knows that. He understands that. The blood was necessary for mankind to be saved from Satan and his grasp. But there's another word Satan doesn't like. It's the empty grave. He doesn't like Bethlehem, he doesn't like the cross, and he doesn't like an empty grave. Because that empty grave was power. And he understands power. And he understands that is power beyond what he has. And so that empty grave is a testament to all men that Jesus Christ can save us because of the power that brought him up out of that grave. And that power is for you and for I today. And so these are just three words. We could probably go on and on concerning the words that Christ does not like, he doesn't like the word salvation either, because when one person is saved, that's a possession that he loses. And your soul is very precious. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, do you realize you're still in his control? Do you realize you're still a part of Satan's kingdom? And God wants to bring you out of Satan's kingdom, just like he cast out that demon in Luke chapter 11 and made this man a part of his own kingdom. Do you realize that Christ wants to take you out of the control that Satan has over you, your mind, your heart, and he wants to make you a part of his own kingdom. And so this is my challenge for you today. Time is getting away, but I just want to remind you that, hallelujah, you know, Satan did everything. He tempted Christ. He even tried to take him off the cross. He had all those people standing around the cross and mocking him. And yeah, if you're the Christ, come down off that cross. The devil didn't want him up there. Come down from that cross. Get off that cross. Come on. Show us you're the Son of God. Well, the devil didn't want him to stay up there. And so he did everything he could to get Christ to come off that cross. But he wouldn't do it. He did it for us. He drank that cup. It's a word that we use. He drank that cup. He did not let it pass. And so here too, on the cross, Jesus won the battle, and he was sinless. But praise God for that. But you know, the devil never gives up. He never gave up, even when Jesus resurrected. And today as well, he tries to keep you and I from hearing the word of God. And, you know, if you're not a Christian today, the devil wants you to go to hell with him. And that is his ultimate goal, is to take every possession, every soul with him that he can to hell. And he wants you to be separated from gospel messages like this. He doesn't want you to hear this message this morning. I think the devil tried every way he could to keep you from hearing this message. And I believe he tried every way that he could and every way that he can to keep you from hearing more of these messages. But also, God has worked, I believe, on your behalf and has allowed you to come to the services this morning, these New Year services this morning, and allow you to hear of Christ's saving power. The Holy Spirit is bringing, it's trying to draw you unto himself. The devil will fight. If you're not a believer, the devil will fight you at every turn to keep you from hearing the gospel and to keep you from coming to church and to keep you from fellowshipping with Christians. And he'll keep you from hearing testimonies of people, saved Christians. That's the work he does. But God has a better plan, and that's called the simple plan of salvation. And you know, if you reject this plan, if you reject God's salvation, who wins? Satan wins. And it's only when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ that we can say, God won. God won. And I hope and pray, as I close my message today, I hope and pray for the salvation of even one person. Maybe one father out there who hasn't put his faith in Christ, a family member, a loved one, a friend. You haven't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray for you that you will do so. And Christians in 2023, let me challenge you to go forward in this new year in the strength and power of Jesus Christ, and do not be derailed by anything that Satan will throw at you. Well, this is my message today to you, my challenge to you today. I trust that it'll be a blessing, an encouragement to live for Christ this year. Go forward in his strength. And that is my prayer. I want to wish you all a very happy new year in the new year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2023. And may you know his blessings. Keep praying. Keep going forward spiritually. and God will bless you for it. Just thank you for coming to church today. Thank you for, maybe if you're able to watch this online, thank you for taking the time to hear this. God bless you all, and hopefully in the future we'll be able to share more blessings with you as God allows. But may God's will be done in your life, and may you all be blessed in this new year. God bless. Take care.